Matthew chapter 9, again we begin our reading with verses 18 through 26. Let us lift up our hearts to God in heaven and ask His blessing as this word is read in our midst. While He spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped Him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." So Jesus arose and followed Him, and so did His disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of His garment. For she said to herself, "If only I may touch His garment, I shall be made well." But Jesus turned around, and when He saw her, He said, "Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, He said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed Him. But when the crowd was put outside, He went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose, and the report of this went out into all the land. This is the word of our God. Well, beloved, last Lord's Day I mentioned to you how Matthew presents to us two very different people in this text. Two different people from opposite ends of the social spectrum. One an outcast, one a prominent man in his community. And yet, with this in common, both were desperate. Both were in a position of great need, and both turned to Christ in their hour of desperation for help. Last time we met the woman who had suffered for 12 years, and how she took a silent approach to Jesus. This morning we meet a man who took an opposite path. Rather than secretly working his way through the thronging crowd, this man ran out to Jesus, as we learn from the other Gospels, and threw himself at the Lord's feet, worshiping Him and pleading with Him to come to His house to save His daughter. If Matthew didn't tell us anything more about this man, it might not seem like a big deal, but Matthew does identify him. He is a ruler of the local synagogue, as Luke tells us. Now you might wonder, what is a synagogue ruler? Well, he was a respected citizen, respected in his community, typically a very devout man. He would be much like a faithful Christian elder or deacon, a man whom the people looked to for spiritual direction. But on this day, the ruler of the synagogue, this respected man, is now brought to his knees. He's humbled by the cruel circumstances of life. His 12-year-old daughter, his only daughter, as Luke tells us, has just died. So it stands to reason that when this man heard that Christ had come to his town, he wasted no time. He ran out to where he was, he threw himself down to worship, and he begged Christ to help him. That is what desperate people do. At that moment, he was not thinking of himself. You know, so often we do. We measure ourselves and we look around. Is this going to embarrass me to do something like this? Well, at that hour, this man had absolutely no regard for any of that. For any of that slavery to the fear of man. He wasn't worried about what people thought of him or how this was going to look. Even as he lay lying face down in the dirt, holding on to Jesus, crying and pleading with Him for help, just like that woman who did the same for the prophet Elisha. If the person who had just died was your only son, your only daughter, your only husband or wife, hopefully the only husband or wife, and you knew that the only person who could save their life just happened to be visiting your town that same day, I think you'd do the same thing this man did. You'd run out to meet him, you'd grab hold of him, and you'd beg him to come over and save the life of your loved one. That is what desperate people do. They will stop at nothing to get help, to go to the one who alone can help them. And this connects so appropriately to the spiritual side of things. How it is that sinners who are desperate for salvation, who are in need of forgiveness, are to come to Christ. Indeed, that is the spirit by which we should come every Lord's Day, isn't it? Not just every Lord's Day, every day. Every Sunday here in worship for sure, but every day of our lives. There should be a sense of desperation as we seek the Lord, the great doctor of our souls, as we plead with Him and beg Him to forgive us again, to reconcile us with each other, to give us that sense of peace and that assurance of pardon that we need when we slip and when we fall. Beloved, I would say this. If you don't see that you have a desperate need for Jesus Christ and a desperate need for the grace and mercy and forgiveness and strength and life that only He can give, then really you're not prepared to meet with the Lord. You're really not ready for worship. Because we need to be like this man. We need to see how desperate we are for a Savior, how desperate we are that He alone can give us what we need. And we need to come to Him, throwing ourselves, as it were, at His feet. You know, it is good to humble yourself before the Lord and to not worry what other people think. To come to Christ, the lover of your soul, and to find your satisfaction in Him. Well, this is how the ruler of the synagogue came to Christ. And then we learn the sorrowful news, the reason why. Jairus, that was this man's name, when he came and made his humble and desperate plea that his daughter had just died, the two of them set off at once to his house. But what they discovered on their arrival was a very sad scene. There were flute players who had been typical for such an occasion, were already there. People were wailing in sorrow over the loss of Jairus' daughter. Sometimes the family would hire people to wail, to weep, to accentuate the grief. Luke tells us as they approached the house, someone who was inside came out and said, "Your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the teacher." That certainly seems like a harsh thing to say under the circumstances, but it also seems to fit with the reality of the situation. Even though Jesus was a great man and had the power to heal, the people on scene were convinced there was nothing more that could be done. There is no need of a doctor when a sick person dies. So Jesus might as well go back to tending the needs of the living. Before we go on and talk about how Jesus raised this little girl from the dead, I just want to pause a minute and reflect on this sorrowful news. You know, the truth is, Jesus doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want, does He? We know He listens. We know He always hears. We know He will ultimately answer our prayers. But the truth is, He doesn't always grant us healing in time. There is so much out of our control in this veil of tears in which we live. And while we always hope and pray for life and for the Lord to heal and to save, God often has different plans for us and for our loved ones. There are times when we have to live and learn to cope with pain and discomfort and disabilities and, yes, death. God does not promise us pain-free living. God does not promise to remove every thorn in our flesh, as Paul learned. But even in these most harrowing losses, we can still sing that it is well with our soul. Because God Himself will wipe away every tear from our eyes one day. So, even if He sees fit to take our loved ones away, as believers in Christ, we can have comfort. We can have peace. We can have joy, knowing that His people are with Him in glory. That their suffering and their sickness, their struggle against sin, the sorrow and strife of this life are over, and they are experiencing perfect joy and blessedness that no eye has seen nor ear has heard. Well, finally, we come to the miraculous raising. Notice first comes the Lord's words of assurance, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." I love how the Lord comforts us in death with the words of Scripture. Paul often says this, falling asleep in Jesus. And see how Jesus does that here with this man, how He addresses the man's great fear. His girl is not dead. She's merely asleep. He's not saying, of course, oh, she's only in a coma and therefore I'm going to raise her out of this coma. No, she was dead. But the Lord's words are meant to remind them of His sovereignty over death. To raise her from the dead is as easy for the Lord as it is for a parent to raise a child from his sleep. That's the point. He is sovereign over life and over death. You know, we look at this world where we live, the turmoil, the threat of war, the moral and political decline that constantly eats at our nation. And there is cause to be concerned. But in the person of Jesus Christ, God says to us, "Do not be afraid. I am the Lord your God. Put your trust and faith in me." He is in charge. He is in control. We can believe Him when He says that everything that happens in this world is for our good and for His glory, and we have no reason to be afraid. We need to have faith in who He is. Let's remember, too, it was Jairus who had come to Jesus in the first place. He came to Christ because he had the faith to believe that Jesus Christ had power to raise his daughter. Now they're on the scene and others are not so confident. They're saying there's nothing more that can be done. But Jesus is calling, in effect, for Jairus not to waver in his trust, even though everyone else thought it was too late. Remember the words of John 11 when Jesus spoke to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live." Luke tells us that when they finally arrived, as only Peter, James, and John went in with Jesus along with the girl's parents. And as you can imagine, the scene of the house is exactly what we would expect, as the family and friends who've gathered to support the family are now feeling this great weight of grief over the loss of their only child. This is Jairus' only daughter. It is devastating. And the people are inside wailing and mourning. The daughter has died. And the first words Jesus says are directed to the mourners. The girl is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. They thought he was out of his mind. But again, Christ was not denying that this girl was dead. What he was getting at ultimately is the truth that death for the child of God is not a permanent reality. Just as it was with Lazarus, whom Jesus said was asleep. Jesus was speaking about the resurrection, the everlasting life we have through our Redeemer, our Savior, and our Lord. The girl would wake up again at the resurrection. But just like it was with the case of Lazarus, Jesus used this occasion to demonstrate that greater truth, to demonstrate His power over death and over the grave, the thing that fears, that men fear above anything else in this life, the power of death. Jesus had power over that grave, over that fear, over that death. And He would raise their daughter from the dead and silence the crying and their mocking laughter. How did Jesus do this? Well, just like with many of the amazing miracles Christ did, it's reported very matter-of-factly. Mark records the original language that Jesus used, the Aramaic, Talitha kum, little girl, I say to you, arise. And with that, her spirit returned, and this 12-year-old girl came back to life again. Jesus took her by the hand, and at once she got up as if she had only been sleeping. Luke tells us Jesus told them to give her something to eat, knowing that she probably hadn't eaten for some time, was very weak. And as someone who was concerned for her, wanted to make sure that in all the excitement, you get this girl something to eat. Or maybe he did that to assure them this is not a ghost. This girl is really alive. But then in the aftermath of this amazing miracle, what does Jesus say? According to Luke, He told this small band of people who had witnessed the miracle, this resurrection, not to tell anyone what had just happened. In fact, Mark says He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this. Certainly the time would come for the telling of the story. We're obviously read about it this morning. But of course, all those who were mourning and who knew this girl was dead would know that something amazing, something mysterious, something wonderful and miraculous had happened. But they couldn't say for sure. Only that she who was dead was alive again, thanks to Jesus. You know, it's interesting. The Bible doesn't tell us why Jesus wanted this kept a secret. It could have had something to do with the timetable of Christ in relation to His arrest and His crucifixion. It was already hard enough for Him to do ministry with crowds thronging Him constantly. Perhaps it was because it would just make it even more difficult. In other places, Jesus made remarks about it not being His time. So it could be that Jesus knew this would draw undue attention to Himself at the moment, while He still had much to do. But as always seemed to happen, Matthew tells us that the report of this went out anyway into all the land. So despite what Jesus said, the news got out. And so, beloved, we see how our Lord, our gracious, kind, and faithful Savior responded to the desperate people around Him. We see His tenderness, we see His love, we see His pastoral nature, we see His personal touch. We see His care for those who are hurting and those who are weighed down by the sorrow and grief of a dead daughter. And in this account, we learn about the comfort of life, of everlasting life, in the presence of death, our final enemy. We're given this gospel reminder that because Christ died and rose again and lives forever, so that death no longer has hold over Him, so too death no longer has hold over us. That we who are in Christ will never truly die. Though these earthly tents wear out and perish, our spirits will never die. And on the day of the Lord, on the day of the final resurrection, the Lord will come, call us out from our slumber, raise up our bodies, and glorify them, and forevermore we will be just like Christ. So let us comfort ourselves with these words, beloved. We have tears in our lives. We have things that trouble us, things that disappoint us. Let's not give in to the despair of this world. Let's not fear for those whom we've lost, because the Bible says they're only asleep. Only asleep. And we'll be awakened again by the Lord. Let us hear and believe the words of Christ, the promises of Christ. Do not fear, only believe. Believe in the Lord, and He will raise us again on the last day. Let us pray.